To understand the reason for the lesson this evening and the significance of it, I think it good for us to review the last four lessons that have been preached for the last four Sunday evenings. The first of those four was a lesson on the subject of sexuality, in which we saw that God created it, He blessed it, and He restricted it. The second lesson was on the subject of adultery, how we can sin with our thoughts, with our actions, and even in the state of adultery. Then David Powell brought a lesson on the fear of God and how important it is for us not only to love God but have the fear of God in the sense of respect and reverence and awe, and how that affects decisions that we make relative to moral principles. And last Sunday night he brought what I think is one of the best lessons that's been preached in a long time in this area of thought on the subject of flee fornication, as he reviewed the story of Joseph and how Joseph lost his coat a second time by running from temptation. I find that it is easy for those of us who preach, if we're not careful, to become so concerned about problem areas that we fail to talk about the answers and the solutions. We sometimes do a better job of telling our young people what they should not do than helping them to come up with the answers to the questions and the solutions to the problems to help them not do certain things and to overcome those problems if one does make a mistake. And I hope that God will help me to be aware of that tendency and to try to balance the preaching and the teaching as we think about areas such as this. Our lesson tonight is based on especially verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 10. I'm reading 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That says, to put it maybe in a little plainer way, there's no temptation that you face, but that others have faced it and continue to face it. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. It has not been too long since I heard a young person say, "What's the use? Why try to live a Christian life? It's impossible in the times in which we live." I don't believe that. It hasn't been too long since I heard others talking about a conversation that again involved young people, where one said, "What's the use of trying to get out of these problem areas if we find ourselves in them? There's just no way to get out." And comments have been made sometimes like this: "I'm hooked. I can't do anything about it. Why try?" I don't believe that's the case either. All of us agree, I'm sure, tonight that we live in difficult times. And it's not just the younger generation, it's all of us. We do not have any new temptations. We have exactly the same types of temptations that were there in the Garden of Eden with Eve and Adam, there with Christ when he was in the wilderness, and defined over in 1 John as being those that are associated with the world even today. But folks, things come at us at a faster rate. Whereas two or three generations ago, something could happen just in the next county and they didn't hear about it for a day or two, you and I know within two or three seconds what's happening on the other side of the world. And where when I was growing up as a teenager, I was associated with just a few young people in a country setting, some of you are associated with hundreds and thousands of young people in a rather short period of time. And we have things bombarding us at a faster rate than probably has ever happened in any generation before. But I don't care that that's the case. I still believe that there is a way. And I want us to leave here tonight with this one statement in our minds, if we don't get anything else: there is a way. That's exactly what this passage is saying. I like that song that we sang just a moment ago. I like it better when one word is changed in it. We sing it, I know the Lord will find a way for me. And this passage says the Lord will make the way. And perhaps sometimes you and I need to put forth more effort to find it. But be that as it may, the concept is the same, and the idea is that there is a way out. Judas thought there was not, and he took his own life. Peter realized that there was, and he became one of the greatest preachers that's ever preached. And if you take what each of those two apostles did, there's not a lot of difference. I'm not for sure that I could say that Judas did anything that was worse than Peter did. Judas sold the Lord and betrayed him, and Peter cursed and denied him. Basically, the same concept involved in both cases. Judas said, "What's the use? I've done something that's bad." He realized that he had. "There's no use trying. There is no way to make this right. I'll just give up and I'll end it all." Peter said, "I've done something that's terrible. But with God's help, I'll find a way out and I'll turn this thing around and I'll make something of my life." And he did. There is a way. Three things we need to understand about that particularly tonight. There is a way to avoid being involved in many problem areas in life. Some of those that we've discussed particularly in the last 4 weeks, others that are related, especially the areas that deal with the drug problem and some of those areas associated with it. I believe the Bible teaches us that there is a way to avoid falling into some of these pitfalls in life. And that's one of the main points that was made last Sunday evening as David talked about Joseph. Joseph ran away from it. It wasn't easy. There were so many factors that would have encouraged Joseph to participate in this invitation to be involved in that which was wrong. But he ran from it, even left his coat, ran out of his coat and ran from it. There was a way. Or Joseph in Genesis 39. The Bible doesn't reveal to us what types of temptation or how many of them Rebekah faced in her life, but it does reveal to us that here was a young lady who found a way to keep herself pure and to be ready to be selected to be the wife of Isaac when the appropriate time came. And it is a beautiful story to read over there in the earlier part of Genesis, or at least earlier than Joseph's account, about the 24th chapter, of this young woman, and to look at the characteristics of Rebekah. Joseph found a way to avoid yielding to temptation. Rebekah found a way to avoid yielding to temptation. And the classic example is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Don't you know she had temptations? I'm sure she did. But she found a way to conduct herself and her life in a manner that when God began to look for someone to be the mother of his only son, he chose Mary. There is a way. Now, it involves watching where we go. It involves watching our associates and being careful. It involves especially training ourselves and our minds and keeping our minds pure. You see, that's where it starts, having things right on the inside in order to control what happens on the outside. I think it is summed up perhaps best over there in 1 Thessalonians 5, 20 and 21. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. There is a way to avoid yielding to temptation. But all of us are going to yield in some way or another. All of us are going to make mistakes if we live long enough. And some of them are going to be worse than others, but all of us are going to yield. And so because we do not live perfect lives, we need to take this thing a step further. And that is to conclude that there is a way out when we get into problem areas. Some ways may be easier than others. Some problems may be easier to overcome than others, but there is a way out. when we find that we are in difficult situations. One of the teachers at Freed Hardeman, who does a lot of counseling with students, especially in problem areas, was talking to me the other day, and he said, I'm finding that some of the students are just sort of giving up and saying, I can't do anything about this. And he said, I've noticed almost a smile come to one's face when I tell them the Bible says there is a way. There's something you can do about this. And he said, I'm convinced that some of them are sort of discovering the idea that there is something I can do about this. I am not pushed into a corner to where I cannot get out of it and serve God. There is a way. And we only have to turn back two or three chapters here in 1 Corinthians to find that. In the 6th chapter, verses 9 and 10, he mentions 10 types of sins, and they're what you and I would call some of the worst. Fornication, adultery, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, translated in some cases as sodomites and homosexuals, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. Kids, that's a pretty bad list. This is a pretty terrible thing said in there. But too many, especially of our young people, have stopped with verse 10 and not gone to verse 11. Verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified. Oh yes, there's a way out. You mean if I allow myself to commit some of these gross sins that are mentioned here, there's a way out? Yes, that's what it's saying. There is a way. There was for David. David committed adultery and then conspired to commit murder. But at Acts 13:22, he's said to be a man after God's own heart. It took hitting him between the eyes with the hammer of the little story about the ewe lamb to get him upset at what he thought somebody else had done, to really see how bad he had been. But even after all that had happened, look at the penitent attitude that's shown in Psalms like number 51, and perhaps touches many of the Psalms that David wrote. There was a way out for him. And I've already mentioned Peter. It's hard for me to understand how a man who'd been associated with our Lord as long as Peter had could stand where he could see what was going on and know the difficulties that Jesus Christ was facing, and then not only deny him three times and swear, I don't even know him. That's pretty bad. But Peter found a way out. He found a way to overcome it. There is a way out of difficult situations. Now, we must admit that sometimes when we get into problem areas, we do things that affect our bodies and our minds and our relationships with others that are hard to put back together. And sometimes we may not be able to put all the pieces back like they were before. And we may not be able to completely get away from those difficult situations. But let me tell you about another person at another point. There is a way to bear the burden that's associated with difficulties that come. Even the difficulties that come because of our mistakes, our weaknesses, and sometimes our stupidity. There is a way to bear the burdens that are associated with those difficulties. Paul is the classic example. Read about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. He said he had a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what it was. And I cannot prove one way or the other from that passage whether he had done anything to contribute to bringing that thorn to his flesh. But he had a difficult situation. He prayed to God to remove it. God said, no, I won't remove it, but I'll give you the grace sufficient to bear it. I'll help you bear up under that which may never change as long as you live. You can still deal with it. And Paul became one of the greatest men that ever lived. Sometimes some of the mistakes that we make affect our bodies, and we may live the rest of our lives suffering the consequences of sin. Sometimes some of the decisions we make and mistakes that we make affect our minds, and there are those who live with a weaker mind, not able to do what they once did because of the power associated with some of those things involved in sin. And there are even times that some people are incarcerated for the rest of their lives because of some of the mistakes that they make. But even in a case like that, there is a way to bear up under the burdens that are associated with those problems. And that way is found in Jesus Christ. There is a way to avoid many of the problems of life. There is a way to overcome and get out of many of those problems. And there is a way to bear the burdens that may be associated with those problems in which we've allowed ourselves to be involved. There is a way. And we need to understand what that way is and where it is. It's interesting to study verses that deal with bearing burdens. Bear your own burdens. Galatians 6, in a passage that also says, bear ye one another's burdens. But you know, when I've done everything that I can do to bear my own burdens, and then you help me and we help one another, sometimes we come up short. But thanks for Psalms 55, 22. Cast your burdens on God, and he'll bear them. Same thing said by James and by Peter in the New Testament. Cast your cares on him, for he careth for you. And even when we look at that passage in 38 verse 4 of the Psalms, where the psalmist said, my iniquities have gone over my head. You and I have even used that statement sometimes. I'm in this over my head. I'm that deep in it. He said, when mine iniquities have gone over mine head, and they're too heavy for me to bear, God will not leave me and suffer me to do it by myself. There is a way. And I think this is the positive part of the message that's associated with all we've been saying. If we preach God's word, we're going to condemn sin. We're going to be concerned about the sinner. But we cannot stop there. We have especially got to realize that in Jesus Christ there is a way. God will make a way so that you'll be able to handle it. And I, with God's help, can handle anything. Sometimes I don't understand how. And sometimes I wish God would hurry up and do a little bit more than I think he's doing. I, like you, get a little bit impatient. But when I back off from it and look at it and analyze it, I'm convinced there is a way to avoid many problems. And there's a way to get out of many problems. And there's a way even to bear the burdens that are associated with problems if those burdens stay with us the rest of our lives. There is a way in Jesus Christ. And if you're not in him, you need to come to him tonight. If you've not been baptized for the remission of sins, you need to do that. If you've sinned in a public way, you need to acknowledge it. If you've sinned in a private way, take care of it between you and God. There is a way to get out of our sins and to live for Christ. And that way is found in that Christ who is our Savior. If you need to come to him, come as together we stand and sing.
Jesus, I come into the freedom, gladness, and light. Jesus, I come.